Same with the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Well, I am in the mood for a cozy mystery, and so one came along and I said, woo, I needed this. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Deborah H. Goldstein. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you for having me today.
Well, this is so much fun for me because I love your Sarah Blair mysteries, and this is book number 5, right? I think this is such a terrific book. It's called 5 Bells Too Many. Perfect for book 5. It is a delightful, absolutely delightful book.
Thank you. I've had a lot of fun writing it.
Well, I love the cover. Of course, it's a Kensington cover. And Carol J. Perry, who is also a Kensington author, pointed out that your cat on the cover is much larger than her cat on the cover of her Kensington books. And her cat is named Orion, and he's a little bit jealous because this is such a very, very beautiful cover.
Well, thank you. That was one of the factors when we started, even with book one. They asked me what I liked about covers, and I had no idea what they would do. And I said, well, I wanted the cat to be emphasized. And they've done that on all 5. I think Kensington does great covers.
Oh, they do beautiful covers. They're distinctive, memorable. They're the kind of covers, the books that you sort of want to keep laying around the house. You know, you just stop and look at it. It's so lovely. And this one is particularly fun because, tell us about the bells, because this is bells with an E. So we have 5 Bells Too Many, and it's a fun story.
They are Southern bells. The books are set in a fictional town called Wheaton, Alabama. And Sarah Blair, for those who don't know it, was married at 18, divorced at 28, and all that she got out of the marriage was Rara, the cat that's on the cover. She has been refinding herself, you might say. She has a twin sister who is a chef who knew from day one she wanted to be a chef. And she has a mother, Maybelle, who is a true Southern bless-your-heart type mother. And in this case, when Sarah Blair's mother is a finalist to win the perfect Southern wedding in a real reality TV show, Sarah is forced to be her mother's chaperone. After the show's producers found dead, with Sarah's greatest nemesis kneeling over the body, Sarah must find the true killer before any of the other contestants or crew are permanently eliminated.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That's it in a nutshell, and there's a lot to go with it. It's so much fun. Well, I think I always love books that have, feature cats and feature weddings, and I think it's so much fun. The beauty of cozy mysteries is that you do escape for a little while, and particularly right now with all the bad news the past few months, people really need this kind of escape. When you're reading this book, you forget everything, and then you have certain characters that you love and that you start sort of visualizing in your head, like like her mother.
She's a hoot.
Oh, she is a hoot. I love it. I think it's terrific. When you came out with this idea, isn't it exciting, this process?
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, as you know, my background, I was a lawyer and a judge. And this is the kind of book I read for the same reason you were just talking about. It was escape. It was something I could read easily on an airplane. So when I went to do this, the idea of just writing a fun Southern cozy series, kind of like an Anne George book, and it was just exactly what I wanted to do.
People turn to a cozy mystery, and they get into the world of the cozy mystery, and you certainly do that. What I love about your writing is that you really paint a picture for us. So we see things in our mind, and we're right into the story.
Well, that's the idea. The idea is to give you a whodunit and make you feel like you're in the middle of it and you can solve it. You have all the characters, you have all the elements, but more importantly, you get to the point that you feel like you know which way the street goes, which way the characters go. You almost feel like Rara the cat can come right up to you, and or Fluffy the dog could be there waiting for you at the door.
Well, absolutely, and I do like Rara. If I was ever going to have a cat, I would have a Siamese. I just like the look of them.
Well, they're intelligent, but I will tell you a secret. I was not is knowledgeable about them. So to write the book, I had to go and research them, but I had to do it by like interviewing friends. And I had one friend who was owned all these Siamese cats over the years. And she sat there for 3 hours. I watched her. I watched the cat. And all of a sudden, it all came together. It had to be a Siamese cat in these books. And when Kensington asked what the cat should look like, because I had mentioned it was tan, et cetera, I stole her cat.
Well, it was a good choice. I think it was a perfect choice. Tell us about Maybelle some more. You've really developed her character along the way. I really enjoy reading about her.
Well, in the first book, you never meet her. You just know that both of her daughters live in fear of her in their own way and at the same time adore her.
Exactly.
In the second book, in Two Bites Too Many, she appears and she takes on the bank president and nobody is immune from her. But by this book, she's settled down a little and she has the idea that she and her friend George should enter this competition as a lark, because she is smart enough to realize that not only will they need 25-year-old finalists, they're going to need somebody over 60, too, to have the demographics work.
Uh-huh.
And so she enters the contest, and sure enough, she becomes one of the five finalists. Of course, she is the type who has her nose in everything, but at the same time, she does it with such grace and dignity. Truly the Southern Belle.
Absolutely. And it's fun. I think the concept was very nice because people are always, people enjoy this reality kind of programs where people win things. And so this, people have this image of them winning something. And so when they read about somebody doing that, they really enjoy it.
Well, I think, you're in the business, so you know that people listen to you, they listen to the show, but they don't know what really goes on behind the scenes, all the details. And that was the fun part, to have a show come to from New York to Whedon, Alabama, and you have to take the Whedonites and you have to take the New Yorkers and put them together, in a sense, the cast and the crew. But more importantly, you have the fun of the reality of what's going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. And that is the great thing in this book. You know, it's so much fun when I'm reading and I see a story in my head and I see it as a very visual story. And that's what happens with your writing. What do you like to write best, the exposition part, or do you like dialogue? You're very good at dialogue.
Dialogue. I have to remember to go back in and put in the exposition. I have to remember to go back in and put in thoughts, because to me, everything comes out in words between people.
Well, I got that feeling. I was thinking, this is really great dialogue, because it's dialogue that moves the story along, that I really appreciate that kind of dialogue.
Well, thank you. I think that, you know, having spent years on the bench listening to people talk and listening to their stories and watching them for credibility and things like that, my ear is more attuned for dialogue than it is all the scenery around it. So I have to remember to make sure I give you enough of that picture so that you get the feeling of the small town and such that you mentioned, Patsy. But at the same time, that through the dialogue, you actually feel like you're in there.
So how many years were you a judge?
I was a judge for 23 years. I was lucky to get on the bench at a very young age. I was only 36 when I was appointed. The average age for my federal administrative law judge was 58. And as I reached the age, I will tell you one quick anecdote. The reason I left the bench, I had a lifetime appointment. I had sold my first book, and then there had been some headlines, you know, Judge Wright's book, but I tried to keep the two careers separate. Then what happened is I was in court, and I had all the lawyers trained. At the end of every hearing, they would say, "Is there anything further?" I would say no, you know, they would say no, and I would then close the hearing. On this particular day, I asked the attorney, he said no, everything was going fine, until his client said, "Yes, Your Honor, there's one more thing." I looked at the lawyer, and he raised his hands to heaven, and I knew this was a great lawyer, but he couldn't control this client. So I looked at the client and I said, yes, sir, what is it? He says, Your Honor, I just want you to know, no matter how you rule, I'm going to buy your book. At that moment, I can tell you, Patsy, I'm sure he didn't buy it. I ruled against him. But I went home and I said to my husband, because I had a new book coming out, I said, you know, we just got the last kid out of school. Maybe it's time for me to run the numbers with you. And if everything works, maybe it's time for me to follow my passion as opposed to sitting on the bench for another 20 years. Because if I can stay healthy, I can have a lot of fun. And that's what I've been doing. And Five Bells is the newest version of my fun.
Well, I think that's a wonderful story. And it's true that once you find that joy on paper that I tell people about all the time, I say, you know, once you start writing and you see your words and then you realize how much happiness you're bringing to people, I can see that it was a good decision.
Oh, I'm having a ball. I've been doing read-alongs and book discussions of all these books, and I'll be doing one of Five Bells on July 26th. And it's just so much fun for people from all over the country zoom in on these things and talk. And it's just wonderful to see how it interacts with them, how they react to the books, and how they get the enjoyment. What you were asking about in the very first questions, it takes them away from the real world for a few hours.
I think it's wonderful. And Kensington, of course, is one of the, I mean, they are just great. They do these wonderful promotions and they really go out there and reach a wide audience for their writers so that you have this opportunity to talk to lots of people.
Oh, I find them very easy to work with. And as you said, the covers are great and I'm having a ball. I'm in my second childhood.
Well, it's probably
Mama Maybell.
Well, it's probably a good idea. It's not so much fun to sit in the court in these days. It's you'd be writing, I don't know, very hard-boiled kind of fiction if you probably stayed in court. But this kind of writing is giving a lot of people happiness. And when you can give this kind of joy, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, I wanted to write cozies, and Sarah Blair, you know, most cozies have crafts, cooking, etc. But I knew that I don't do any of those really well myself. So when I did Sarah Blair, I said, wait a minute, what about me? What about the kind of person who finds cooking or being in the kitchen absolutely frightening? And that's how I came up with Sarah. She is literally a person who finds being in the kitchen more frightening than murder. And that exactly gives people freedom, because people like us who are readers can laugh with her, can enjoy with her, and can watch her grow.
When you came out with the idea, you made an imaginary town,
yes,
which is always fun. This is real world building.
Mm-hmm. It is. I made it. Weedon, Alabama was based on a lot of the small southern towns that when I was a litigator, I ran around. You know, it'll have the square in the middle. It'll have people, everybody knows what everybody's doing, and you know if there's a stranger. And at the same time, it's fun to bring. That's one of the reasons I brought the New York crew in to do this television show in this small town, because it has a big impact on those who are in town.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in a small town, and boy, when people would come from outside, we would get so excited. It was unbelievable.
Well, if I remember, you're from Michigan, isn't it?
Yeah, the Upper Peninsula.
And I grew up in Jackson.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we had 1,400 people in our town. When an event would happen, like the 4th of July parade, in those days we used to have big 4th of July parades, and they would show up. It was so exciting.
Mm-hmm. And everybody comes out, everybody gets into it, and one way or the other, they're going to try to become part of it. And in this book, there's only so many places they can go for meals, etc. So it helps take the narrowness of the small town, but it helps you focus on exactly where. And the reader who is already knows these restaurants, knows the bed and breakfast, they know that why Sarah is staying in the nemesis, because the only bed and breakfast belongs to her nemesis.
I also enjoyed the part about Chef Bernardi.
Yes. I enjoyed having different aspects of him and bringing in a little, shall we say, gambling and such.
It's a wonderful book, and I'm sure you're working on book six, but I think you can probably start doing also some live events instead of just the Zoom events, huh?
I'm hoping to. Some of them have, there are a few things live coming up, but for the most part, everybody's kind of still in a back and forth. Shall it be live or shall it not? I'll be at Sleuth Fest, and we'll start seeing probably some live stuff in mid-July. Right now, things are blogging and virtual for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I didn't do BoucherCon this year either. It's just been so iffy. You don't know. It's as much about traveling as what happens there, you know?
We know we can get into these books and we can just take stay home and read a little bit.
That's right. Find a nice spot under a tree. I just want to tell people, it is so wonderful, actually, to sit outside under a tree and read. If you have the opportunity, if you have a place where you can go, like a botanical garden near you, just sit under a tree. And the sound of the trees as you're reading, it's like an orchestra in your head.
And it brings you joy on paper.
It does. It does. Well, I want to thank you, you know, so much for being on Joy on Paper. I think I love when somebody has followed their dream. And this is what I talk about so often. You know, sometimes people will think that they're too old to start a new career. They're too old to try something new. But when you do and you find, as you have, the fun and the joy of it, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing.
Following the passion is something one cannot understand until one does it.
And the beautiful thing about writing is you can keep going and going and going because, you know, I had Eugenia Lovett West was on my program for her 99th birthday, and she just wrote a book about cybercrime.
Well, I hope I am still going at that point as well, and we can come back by then.
Well, Mary Higgins Clark was the last time she was on my program, she was 89 years old. So, you know, it's,
That gives me another 20 years.
That's what I'm saying. You've got another 20 years, probably. This series will be going on, and you'll probably start another series. And that's where you have this wonderful, wonderful point in your life where you are doing what you love. Order this book today. It's called Five Bells, and that's bells with an E, Southern Bells. Five Bells Too Many. And it's book five by Deborah H. Goldstein. And you have a website you want people to go to?
Yes, www.deborahhgoldstein.com.
Okay.
If they go to my website, deborahhgoldstein.com, they can actually download for free. Kensington put together a really cute recipe book, Simple Recipes for the Sometimes Sleuth.
Oh, that's great. A free recipe book. If you go to Deborah H. Goldstein's website.
And dot com,
and it will, wow, that's great. I'm going to do that myself. And again, it's a Sarah Blair mystery, number five. Everybody, you will love it. It's really fun. And again, Deborah, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And Carol J. Perry wanted me to say a special hello to you from her cat, Orion, who she loves. And he has quite a following, too.
I hope he gets a bigger place on his next cover.
Yeah, that's what she's hoping to, because the last, you know, he was just... Well, he has a big ego, and he really doesn't appreciate being, you know, not right there in your face. So, isn't it funny how these animals take over your life?
Oh, as I've said, he's the alpha male.
That's okay. Well, Deborah, it was fun talking to you. Bye bye now.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye bye. Wow, I love this book. I love books with weddings in them, which reminds me that Carol J. Perry had just, her book number 12 had a wedding in it. But we're going to have a book buzz for her other series, because here, again, she came out with she made up a town here, right here in our area of Florida, just south of us, near St. Petersburg, and it's called Haven, Florida. And so she's written a book, a new series, and book one is already out. Bye-bye. Bye.